Well, last Wednesday, as Pastor Andrew and I were having our sermon conversation, I hope you got to witness that. We had the fireplace even going. That was kind of fun. And it just got me thinking about one thing as we were talking about it. It didn't fit with last week's idea, but I just wanted to kind of resonate on this thought for a moment, is that for me and in my family, my wife, Valmy, and I, we are called to lead our children, lead our house. And I think that when I have friends over or my children have friends over, obviously that's never happened in a very long time, but it will happen again in our houses, that, man, I'm not called to lead those people. How awkward would that be? You know, you got some friends over, or, you know, the kids, hey, you try and lead them. You try and, you know, teach them and guide them and discipline them. You know, you just don't do that kind of stuff. But when we're in God's family, we call ourselves Christians, and we say that we're part of the house, we're in God's house. Well, God is the Father, and we're His children, and He will lead and guide and discipline us. So what does that look like? You know, how does He do that? And I want to look in the Scriptures today into some prophetic books. So we'll jump into the prophets, and we're going to look at Isaiah and Lamentations and Zechariah. Now, Isaiah and Lamentations are major prophets, and Zechariah is a minor prophet. Well, what does that mean, and why are those that way? Well, it really boils down to the length of the book. Back in the old day, you would have a scroll, and you would write out your book on the scroll. And if it was longer than one scroll, then it would become a major prophet. You'd have a lot to say. And if it was only one scroll, it would be a minor prophet. So we see some distinction there. But let's look at these three guys who are going to speak to us about how God would lead us, how He would guide us, how He would discipline us. So let's jump into Isaiah. So Isaiah chapter 28, we pick up this story here, starting in verse 16 of Isaiah 28. So this is what the sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation, and the one who trusts will never be dismayed. I preached on this just a few months ago, but I want to go on to the second part of this. I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plumb line. Hail will sweep away your refuge, the lie, and the water will overflow your hiding places. See, there's two things jumping out in this part of verse 17 we see here. There's that justice would be our measuring line, and that righteousness would be our plumb line. So let's expand on that. What are those two things? What is he trying to refer to here? First thing is justice, the measuring line. God will judge according to that kind of a standard. There's a line in the sand. We always say, which side are you on? There's a line God is wanting us to be judged by. I want it to be clear, though, it's not for us to go around like judging everybody else. Oh, you know, this is the measuring line of God, and you will fall into line. No, this is a personal measuring line. This is God personally judging us. How are we going to be respond to that? And the second thing is righteousness. In doing what's right, we are righteous before God. That's God's plumb line for us, and I'll explain that more in just a moment. He and we will see how much we are living by these standards. God will call us into account. And so when He calls us into account, what could happen? So we see here in the second part of that verse, we see two things happen. Hail will sweep away the lie, and water will overflow your hiding place. The process of this judgment will sweep away. As God puts a line in the sand, it will sweep away, in a sense, all of our lies, all of our, you know, wrong thinking, the deceptions that we've allowed into our lives that we believe is the truth. God will separate those two. The process of doing right, where water will overflow our hiding places. You know, there's secret areas in our lives that, you know, we're in sin. And God said when water comes in, water finds cracks and holes, doesn't it? Water will get wherever it wants to go in these areas. We'll not be able to hide from the lies of our sins and that we've maybe even ignored for a long time, maybe even out of ignorance. As God, as we grow and mature and get closer to the Lord, He starts calling these things out in us. We begin to realize, hey, actually, that's not in line with God. The second thing we're going to find here is in Lamentations. So in Lamentations chapter 2, verse 8, says, the Lord determined to tear down the wall around the daughter of Zion. He stretched out a measuring line. That's what we've been talking about today. And did not withhold His hand from destroying. He made ramparts and walls lament together. They washed away. We just read about that washing away as well. So ramparts, to me, I don't really understand that super well. We talk about the walls and the ramparts, you know, is like a giant wall where there'd even be like, you'd be able to walk on top of the wall. God said, I'm going to knock all of that down. Because at the time, the people here, when we're reading about in Lamentations, is that the people of Judah had this beautiful temple. And honestly, they were kind of going through the rituals of trying to look Christian, but they really rejected it in their daily lives because they proclaimed, they came to church and they worshiped God. This is wonderful, God, we're going to serve you with our lives. And then just left it all behind. They weren't doing what God had called them to do. Thus, their worship turned into basically like a mocking lie. I'm going to have some fun with you here. I hope I don't offend this song. But when we worship and we begin to say words, do we actually really mean it? And I'm struck by that. I'm challenged by that. When I sing songs like this, and please has, you know, I hope this song isn't ever ruined for you forever now, but I will sing of your love forever. When I sing that song, I, personally, me, will sing of it forever. Really? I don't think so. Like, let me be honest, for me personally, there'll be times in my life where actually I probably won't sing of God's love. I'll be frustrated. I'll be upset at something. Something will tick me off, and I actually won't be living that way. So it's really not even like true with, when we say this kind of, like, I. Whenever I start thinking about I will do something, well, actually, I'm not that great. I'm not that perfect. God will do something. Jesus, who's perfect, will do something. And we need to get in line with that kind of truth and that kind of thinking. So here we see, in destroying the wall, taking away the people's source of protection, he will determine who trusts him and who doesn't. As God begins to like strip away things that we put our trust in, or maybe an idol in our life, he strips that away. He says, are you going to still serve me? Are you going to still trust me? We will see who will stick by him and his ways of life and who will not. I think, whoa, this is like a cleansing, isn't it? And we think about restriction time right now. I feel like after all this is over, who will still remain? And now we're talking about God's people here. I think, you know, we're talking about people that are saved, people that call Jesus their Lord and Savior. This is who God is talking to. Because if you're in the house, then God will direct you. He will lead you. He'll point you in the right direction. And if you're not in the house, you're not saved yet, well, God just loves you, right? We're talking about compassion and love and forgiveness, all that kind of stuff, to bring you into the house. And then once you get in the house, then there's going to be some correction now. So we see that coming out here. God will use this kind of a standard again, this measuring line and plumb line. I've got a photo here that was 2 years ago. The first year that we moved here, the first summer that we were here, when Riverboat Days was actually legal and you could pull it off and you could do it. There's a picture of myself and my two daughters, and we were playing golf. And we were on, I think it was the 14th hole. It's a par four, if you know golf, four shots to get in the hole. And I pulled up my driver here, and I smashed it over 300 yards. Now, it wasn't quite on the green or, you know, near the hole, but it was pin high. It was over 300 yards. I just smoked it. But off the tee, what had happened, though, was when I was hitting the ball, I was aimed at the hole, but I was off a degree or two, you know, just a tiny bit, just off a little bit. And so my ball ended up not quite where I wanted it to. But from you and I, when you look at this face where the ball is going to hit, if I'm off a degree or two, you don't notice it. It looks like it's still going to go straight. But when it goes 200 or 300 yards, you realize it actually didn't go where I wanted it to. So in our lives, if we're off a degree or two in our thinking, in our actions, in our thoughts about God, God has got a perfectly straight line for us. And if we're off just a degree or two, you don't notice it very much. But in the long run down the road, you will notice that you are off. You are missing exactly what God has for you. And I think so often, it's just out of ignorance a lot of the time, as we walk closer to God, we go off a little bit. We thought, it's not that big of a deal. We're just off a tiny bit. We're close enough. But in the long run, we end up being really far off. And it's very concerning. And God is saying, I've set up a perfect line for you that is straight as a arrow, right? Just perfectly straight. I think about as well when I built my fence. I built it last year. Thank goodness I built it last year, because the price of lumber is like tripled, it feels like. So I'm so thankful I got my fence up. But I ended up getting my property line, you know, nailed out in a sense. You know, bring a guy by, kind of make sure you got your property line straight. You run a stringer right across your property line on all four corners. So you realize that's where we want the fence. And so you've got the stringer up, and you start digging holes where you want the fence because you want it to be nice and straight. Imagine if one of the poles or the post was off a bit, thinking, that's not super good. So you got yourself out your fence, you know, level. You've got to get the bubble straight, you know, on all sides, make sure it's all straight and all that kind of happy stuff. So you see, you set your fence up like that. So if it's not dead straight, when you go to build it, it's not going to be great, is it? Something will be off. And so you think, okay, I got all my holes straight. Now you're thinking, yeah, that's good, perfect. Then you put your 4x4s in there, your post hole, or, you know, your studs. And you realize that for one of mine, as it dried out, it began to just warp and twist. So I was looking at my fences. Oh, look how good that looks. All of a sudden, you know, way down there, the one's wham. What is going on near the end of my fence? So it's kind of frustrating at the moment. But I wonder if for you and I as well that, as we could line up our lives with God, we think we've got it right. And then later on, we realize that actually that is warped and twisted, that thinking. We're not actually scripturally sound on what I was thinking. It sounded good in the day. You know, it made sense back in the day. But does it make sense still today? That's a big challenge for me. So instead of allowing God to kind of like, you know, force us back into, you know, get in line because you're not willing to change, you realize that, oh, I got to get right with the Lord. I got to rethink that. He might even have to pull out. My neighbor did this. He said he pulled out the one that he had to dig it out, get all the concrete out of the ground, took out that 4x4 and put in a brand new one. Now, I didn't do that one. I just kind of forced mine. Just forced it into place. So if you're looking at my fence from a distance or you do a drive-by on my house, you're like, that's a good-looking fence. I like this fence. But honestly, if you get up close to it, and you look at it straight on, you realize, it looks good, looks good. And there's a big warp in it. You're thinking, geez, did he miss something? And I wonder if in our lives as well, it's the same kind of thing. We think from a distance, it looks good. It looks great. Everything's wonderful. And you get up close to it, you start looking at it a little more close. It's not. And there's something wrong. There's something we need to address. And God is calling us out on that. He's saying, I want you to be straight, and I want you to follow me every part of your life. Let's jump on now to verse 9, Lamentations chapter 2. Her gates have sunk into the ground. Their bars have been broken and destroyed. Her king and her princes were exiled among the nations. The law is no more, and her prophets no longer find visions from the Lord. The law is no more, and no longer do they find visions from the Lord. They're not getting the instruction that they needed anymore because they're not hearing from God anymore. No more law, no more visions, no more what's right and wrong, and that line becomes blurry. Now, in history, in the world, we see that, don't we? As we lean further and further away from the law, the truth, prophetic readings and writings, we realize that we are getting blurry. The lines are getting very blurry in life about true, right, and wrong. So we have to come back to God. We have to come back to His Word so we can line up our lives with that kind of thinking. And I think it's a great principle that I'm reminded of recently. When we think about individuals that are living life and we see even, you know, celebrities and, you know, very, you know, prestigious individuals, we see them making poor decisions or they make foolish acts. Well, it boils down to not that you're not frustrated at them as individuals, but we're reminded of the reality of this principle, that we have to line up our lives, all of our life, every aspect of our lives in accordance to God. Because if one of them is out, if one aspect of your life is out, you know, you're not going to be moving towards Christ. There's going to be a problem. Something's going to be twisted and warped. Let's continue in verse 10. The elders of the daughter of Zion sat on the ground in silence. They have sprinkled dust on their heads and put on sackcloth. The young women of Jerusalem have bowed their heads to the ground. It's an Old Testament sign or Old Testament example of mourning. Obviously, they had lost a lot of things, and they were mourning because of their loss. I want to show you the four things that we have read about that they lost. Four things here. They really lost the protection of their walls or their gate. They lost the leadership from their kings and their princes. That was stripped away. They lost the guidance. As we saw, there's no more law, the guidance from the law. And the very last thing, the vision of the prophets. There was no longer any vision. Now, I believe, honestly, personally, as this church, I believe we have these kind of things. I think we've got some great protection as we lead and we pray for you, that spiritual protection would be around each one of you. I believe that Pastor Andrew and I are trying to do our best to give you some good leadership. I believe that we have some wonderful guidance as we just press into the Word of God, as we wrestle through it, as we pray together, as we do midweek conversations. And I believe that we are being given vision of what God wants to do and accomplish in this church in years to come. But back to verse 8 just for a moment. Let's just read it, verse 8. The Lord determined. See, the Lord determined for these individuals, for their season of life, that they had put all their faith in that. It was like an idol to them. They put all their faith in the beautiful temple, that, you know, everything was great and glorious, and, you know, and then I'm just going to live my own life. You know, all those things are good. But they were just playing church. They were playing Christianity. So he wanted to shake things up a bit, get those things out of their life. So he called them out, the daughter of Zion. These are Christians. He called out the people of God. I want to get your attention. With those four factors present, the people were lured into a false sense of security and felt comfortable with their sins and their way of doing life. We can so easily become so comfortable. Oh, it's so comfortable in here. It's nice. You're not here. That's not very comfortable. But comfortable in the house, comfortable where the church is at, comfortable with 86 years, comfortable with all this kind of thinking. And God is saying, I want you to follow me. And whatever that looks like, it might look a little differently, but would you be willing to give it up? Would you be willing to sacrifice it to follow me? Man, that's a great challenge, isn't it? Let's look at one more prophetic book here. We look into Zechariah. Now, Zechariah chapter 4, jumping in verse 4. I asked the angel who talked with me, what are these, my Lord? He answered. Do you not know what these are? No, my Lord, I replied. So he said to me, this is the word of the Lord of Zerubbabel. Not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. What a brilliant piece of scripture. What are you, O mighty mountain, before Zerubbabel? You will become level ground, and he will bring out the capstone, two shouts, God bless it, God bless it. And I just preached on that not too long ago, but the capstone, Jesus Christ. Then the word of the Lord came to me, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundations of this temple. His hands will also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. Verse 10. Who despises the day of small things? What another great piece of scripture. Who despises the day of small things? Men will rejoice when they see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. Now, plumb line for us today is like this plumb bob. I've got this picture here. So we don't use this much anymore in construction, but, you know, you would hang this quite heavy object, you would hang it, and so you would know if something was straight. It would hang straight down. You would know if something was perfectly vertical or upright. It was usually used in the construction of a building, of a tall structure, to ensure that the building is standing on level ground. If you could imagine with me, this is not a plumb bob, but this is my nice level here. And so when we see this bubble here, it helps us. Okay. Oh, yeah, right there. Yeah, that's nice and level. So it's saying that, you know, this building's going to be nice and level and good. Because if the bubble was off a bit, and all of a sudden you're the Leaning Tower of Pisa by the time you get a couple levels on there, right? And your building's not like this anymore, it's like that. Well, that's a problem. So we would see the same thing. What God is talking about is, you know, are we on a good foundation? And are we pointed towards the Lord? Are we pointed towards heaven in a sense? I want to make this clear, though, that as you and I, as Christians, we don't worry about, like, if we're off a little bit, God's going to correct us and move us. We're not off like this, like, oh, whoops, we're pointing towards hell. We're really off, like, we're so far off. No, God is saying, I just want to tweak you a little bit. Just want to kind of get you closer to me. I want to work on a couple things. So we've got a good, firm foundation, and God is saying, there's a line for your life. There's a perfect way I want you to go. I want you to follow me every part of your life. And if you're off a bit, again, it could really throw us off. We could really miss some important details along the way. So God's saying, make sure you're lined up with me. The reason this plumb bob is more reliable in leveling and truing things out is because it just hangs from midair. We don't have to kind of attach it to something like the level. You have to put the level up against something to know, okay, that's level. The plumb bob, it works on what we call gravity. It's pulled towards the earth. Have you ever tried to fight gravity? It doesn't work so well. Anytime I fall or I try and jump off of something, I realize I'm going down. You know, you're not going to win with that one. So there's something pulling you in a certain direction. The Lord is the same way. With the scripture, it's like gravity is pulling us in a certain direction as we listen to God, as his laws direct us, as he gives us vision. We are pulled and called in a certain way. In a plumb bob, you would put down, and you know, usually it's so heavy, it'd swing for a little while, right? Kind of figure itself out, like, okay, where is exact center? Ooh, there it is, right there. Now, for you and I, you know, sometimes we're swinging around, all kinds of ideas and thoughts about God and all these, you know, perceptions about God, and God is saying, slow down, let it set in. There it is, right there. That's what I want you to feel. That's what I want to teach you. Jesus is that plumb line in our lives, and this Bible is our foundation on which we stand. Like our house, if you think about your house when you walk into it, you realize that if it's built like exceptionally well, it's a good, firm, solid foundation, usually concrete, and it's built usually, you know, pretty square and straight on. Until you try and do a renovation, you realize this falls way off. But anyways, our house is built on a firm and solid, and it's pretty square. Our spiritual life should be the same way. Should be on a firm foundation. And it should be nice and vertical. Should be straight towards the Lord. If something's off in our lives, I'm praying that we would wake up. We'd allow the Lord to speak to us and correct us. Because this past week, as a wonderful illustration, I thought, as a church, we've got all these different rooms going on, and we're renovating one of them into being the exercise room. I'm excited about it. You know, I need some exercise. And so we've got a piece of equipment in there now. And as I was building it, I realized the very first step one, I mean, I actually follow instructions because I feel like I don't want to get this wrong. I don't want to waste my time. It says in here, do not thoroughly tighten the hardware until instructed. So you've got all these different metal moving pieces. I've got a picture of it here with you. So you can see it's, you know, it's quite, you know, heavy and, you know, but don't tighten those screws until you've got it all done, because on the bottom you put the screws on, and if I tighten those, if I go to the top, because it's metal, if it was off just a hair, just a bit, you don't just take a hammer to metal and hopefully it warps into place. See, I kept it all loose, following the instructions. And then once it was all there, then I was able to tighten it. I was able to put it together because it all lined up nicely. I was actually surprised that it did. How often do things not all fit together? And sometimes we have to force with a hammer. And I think God is trying to equip us and teach us that same kind of a principle. We allow God to speak to us. We allow his thoughts to line us up. We want to follow his ways. And as we do that, he straightens us out. We've got a straight path towards him. I mean, not saying life will be perfect, but God will direct us and lead us along the way. It's such an important principle. Don't just look like you're following the Lord, as we read about in Lamentations. You know, having, you know, a nice whatever it looks like, having gates, having leadership, having guidance, having words, having vision. Like, everything's good, God. We're okay. And then there's this one area that's not okay. Make sure you're lined up with the Lord, that you're filled up with God and you're moving in the right direction. Let me quickly pray for you. Father, we thank you for the word of God. God, I pray that each one of us would allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us and correct us in these areas that we may be a little bit off, we may be a little bit warped or twisted in our thinking. I pray that you would change that inside of us in Jesus' precious name. Amen.